Lord, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you that your word is transforming us. It's causing us to come alive, and it's reminding us of who you are and who we are in Christ. Lord, continue that work in us. Take us from glory to glory. Increase our capacity to live as your children in Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, we are nearing the end of our exploration for the new things that we now have in Christ Jesus. And if we remember what it says in our title passage, really for the whole series, which is 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. New. The old is gone. The new has come. And not only has it come, but it keeps on coming and coming and coming and coming. We're reminded that God spoke over us in Revelation 21:5 that I am making everything new. God is making everything new. So in our exploration of new things, we've encountered, unearthed some of those new things. We've been reminded that in Christ we have new thinking. We think differently now. A whole new paradigm shift of the way that we think, and we find it in God's Word. That in Christ we have a new spirit, and we can invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill us, to baptize us. Woo! In Christ we have new freedom. Sin, the world, the flesh, that doesn't control us anymore. We're free. We're free indeed because of Christ. In Christ we have a new identity. No longer sinners. God's word declares over us in the new covenant in Christ Jesus that now we are saints. We are saints, members of the royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people. We have a new identity and we have a new purpose. We learned that last week. It's to go and to make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them about God's word and his ways. This morning, we're going to uncover yet another new thing we have in Christ. And that is new family. That's the title of today's message, New Family. In the book of Hosea, there's a prophecy, and it says, I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. 750 years later, the Apostle Peter tells the church that this prophecy has been fulfilled. Peter declares this truth over the church, everyone who's born again in Christ. He has declared, once you were not a people. This is in 1 Peter 2:10. Once you were not a people, but now. Peter's saying, but now it's happened. This is your new reality, but now you are the people of God. Receive that. You are the people of God. What does this mean? It means that in Christ, born again in Jesus, something marvelous, something new has happened. We've actually become the people of God. Those of us, we were once enemies of God. We were once far from God. Through God's love, through His grace, through the cross, the resurrection, the sovereignty of God, He has brought us near to Him and He's made us His people through Christ. Come on, that's awesome. That's a miracle. You're a miracle. You're a miracle. It gets better though. Ready for it to get better? When God calls us His people, He's not simply calling us members of like the God Club or something like that. A lot of us are members of different kind of clubs, you know. We don't just become the members of the God Club when we become His people. And it even goes beyond some of the other realities of our new position in the family of God. You know, we're called servants now. We're no longer servants to sin or the flesh, but now we're servants to Christ. But when He says that we're His people now, it goes beyond even that. We're called citizens. We become citizens of a new kingdom in Christ Jesus now. But when God is saying that you become my people, it even goes beyond that. It even goes further. Because when God calls us His people, He means that we actually become members of His family. Members of His family. We actually become sons and daughters of God, the Creator of the universe, has brought us into His family. We're His people. You know what I'm saying? His people. We belong to a new family. So let's take a look at that. I got 3 points this morning. Sometimes I have 5. Sometimes I have 7. Don't sweat. It's only 3 this morning. So what does this mean? Members of a new family. Well, point number one is this. New family is our new reality. New family. Our new reality. When Jesus stepped down from heaven and came to the earth, He didn't come simply to make converts. Sometimes we get to that place. Well, Jesus just came to save people because, man, people are lost and He needs to save them. But again, God has a much bigger vision and plan than just making converts. You see, when Jesus stepped down from heaven, when God put on flesh and came down, He came down to grow His family. Not just get decisions, not just make converts, but to increase, grow His family. Jesus came to bring the broken, the lost, the lonely, the disconnected people into God's family. Why? It's because when God came down, when Jesus the Son came down and walked on this earth, He came down dripping with the Spirit of adoption. Filled, just oozing out this Spirit of adoption. We can read about it in Romans chapter 8. Turn with me. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 14. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Where do we get the Spirit of God? How are we led by the Spirit of God? Through Christ Jesus. And saying, oh, come on, Holy Spirit, lead me. Those of us who are filled with the Spirit of God are sons of God. Family members. Verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. But you received the Spirit of sonship. Other versions say the Spirit of adoption has come. You've received the Spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are now God's children in Christ. We are now God's children. The Holy Spirit speaks it over, testifies to us, reminds us that we are members of a new family. We're God's children. Now, if we are children, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you do, you're a child of God. And if you are His children, then we are also heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. So this is our new reality, church. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say it right now. This is our new reality in Christ Jesus. We are now children of God. We are no longer orphans. We have been adopted into the family of God with full rights of sonship. This means that we're actually brothers and sisters. We're not just a group of people getting together to be part of the God club and go through a bunch of religious motions. We are actually members of the same family now, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the same family. That's something even thicker than blood. Something eternal that we're talking about, that we've entered into. We're members of God's royal and eternal family. We've been adopted. It says in Galatians 3, verse 26, that you are all sons of God. You are all sons of God, daughters of God, children of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. How did we become children of God? How did we enter into this new family? Through faith in Christ Jesus. But let's remember, through that faith in Christ Jesus, we really have been brought into a new family. We really have had something miraculous happen. We have become children of God now. Amen. Not strangers, orphans, aliens, enemies anymore. Actual children of God. It's our new reality. We have a new family. We sang about it. He's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. Not only are we in a new family, but we have a perfect father. A perfect heavenly father. Now, none of us have had perfect earthly fathers. My children have gotten really close, but that's a joke. Oh, man. Oh, Lord. I was trying to be funny. Anyway, none of us have had perfect earthly fathers. And And it really is no joke, because some of our earthly fathers have hurt us. They have. They've even abandoned us. But we're in a new family now. We're in a new family. You're in a new family now. You have a new daddy, a new heavenly father, one that is with you for eternity. And this is what your new heavenly father has spoken. This is who he is. This is his character. He says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. New family. New heavenly father. An Abba father. God our father. Our heavenly father is perfectly loving. Our heavenly father is perfectly faithful. This is our new family. This is God's family that now we're part of through Christ Jesus. This is now your family and your heavenly eternal daddy. He wants you to walk into this new reality. It is your new reality in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. So new family is our new reality. But the second point that I feel God wanting us to discover or remember is that new family means new inheritance. Back to Romans 8, verse 17. Now, if we are children, are you children of God? Amen. Now, if we're children, there's a then. If then, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. Come on. That's amazing. And every time I read that, every time I'm reminded of that by the Lord, I always feel like falling on my face and going, I'm not worthy. And we're not in and of ourselves. But it's not us. It's through Christ that He has brought us in, made us children. And not only children, but full-on children, heirs and co-heirs with Christ. That's amazing love. That's amazing grace. That's the heart of our Heavenly Father. Wow. God calls us heirs and co-heirs with Jesus. In other words, here's the reality of this. God isn't holding anything back from us. We're not just kind of kids that get to kind of tag along and be kind of near the Father, near His blessing, near His goodness, near His inheritance. No, He has brought us fully into His family, established fully and completely as His children. God isn't holding anything back from us, is what He is saying right here in Romans 8. He is calling you an heir and a co-heir with Jesus. In other words, what's His is ours. What is our Heavenly Father's, He has made that ours. Our inheritance, because we're heirs. We're not Johnny-come-latelys. You know, in Africa, it's interesting. It's a different culture. And if somebody has a family member die and they have children, they'll quote-unquote adopt them or bring them into their family. This doesn't happen in every culture in Africa, but in some cultures it does, and I've watched it. And they'll bring them in, but they never bring them in as full-on children, even though they call it adoption. They bring them in kind of almost as, we love you, but you're also a servant. We love you, but you're not really full on my child. We're going to provide for you. We're going to feed you. We're going to give you a roof over your head. But this is your role, and it's different than their biological children. Now, that's not in every culture in Africa, but I've witnessed it in some cultures. I've watched it happen. That's not what God does with us. God is saying, look, this spirit of adoption that I have, that I operate in, is I have brought you in and adopted you, and you are fully mine, wholly mine. You are not just my children, but you are my heir. He isn't holding anything back from us. It's all ours. So we have an eternal inheritance. As God's children, you have an eternal inheritance. What is that marvelous eternal inheritance? That is eternity with God. There is nothing better than that. never again separated from God, always knowing who you are and always being in the presence of your loving Heavenly Father. In His presence now and forever. That eternity starts now, by the way. Your eternal inheritance started the day that you received Christ and came in to the family of God. We have an eternal inheritance forever and ever enjoying God. There's nothing better. You're an heir, and that's yours. But we also have an immediate inheritance as heirs and co-heirs of Christ. What does that look like? It means that we get to begin enjoying the inheritance, the goodness of God right now. We get to begin enjoying all that God is right now and all that He has right now. We don't have to wait for the sweet by and by. All things of God right now. His kingdom we begin to experience and walk in right now. His authority is ours right now. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, I'm going to call you to go do the things I was doing. In other words, Jesus was transferring His authority, all that He had, all that God had that He received from the Father, transferring it to the church, to His followers. It's that immediate inheritance as heirs, as children of God now. Not when you die. It's happened the day that you came into the family through Christ Jesus. An immediate inheritance. Another part of this immediate inheritance is the fellowship of the saints. Look to your left. Look to your right. You just looked at some of your inheritance. Some of your immediate inheritance right now. Gifts that God has given you right here, right now, that are yours. Because you're His child. You're an heir. I hope you look at each other that way. I know sometimes I don't always act like an inheritance or like a gift. But give me an extra, another moment, and maybe it'll all happen again. You know what I'm saying? Remember, God isn't holding anything back. What's His is now ours. When I was contemplating this reality from Romans 8 and being heir and a co-heir with Christ, I was reminded of the story of the prodigal son. And basically, you guys understand it. You think of a couple characters in it. You think of the prodigal son who said, hey, look, I want my inheritance now. And he takes it and he goes off and he lives for himself and he squanders his inheritance. And he finds himself living with the pigs and just saying, hey, if my father will just let me back as a servant, I'll go back as a servant because it's better to be a servant in his house than to be where I am right now. And a lot of people wrongly think, and there may be some in this room right now, you think that I've gone so far away from God that all you're looking for from Him is just to be a servant of His. I want to tell you right now, God has more for you than that. He wants to bring you in fully as an heir. But this prodigal son, he comes back, he repents, he turns his heart back home, back to his father. And he comes back, and what is his father doing? His father is there to welcome him back. His father is so excited, he puts a royal robe on him. He throws a feast for him. He says, my son is back, my son is back. But you know what? There's another person in this story, and that's the brother of the prodigal son. We don't talk about him a whole lot. But his feathers got a little ruffled in this whole exchange as he saw the love of his father toward his younger son. And he was wondering, why aren't I getting the party? I've been the one here. I've been the one raising my hands and going to church and serving the poor and helping and being your son. I've always been here. Why aren't I wearing that robe? Why aren't I getting that party? And the father replied to his son. And he said to him, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. What the Father is saying to His Son and what the Heavenly Father is saying to you right now is that He is always with you, and you are always with Him, and everything that your Heavenly Father has is yours. It has been yours since the day you came into His family through Christ, and it is yours right now, and it'll be yours tomorrow, because you're not on the outside. You are a full-on son. You're a full-on daughter. You are an heir and a co-heir with Jesus, the Son of God. He's not holding anything back. He's not chintzy. He's given it all to us. That's amazing. It's almost scandalous. But it's the goodness and the love of God, isn't it? I want to invite my wife, mother of my four beautiful children, this awesome woman. Happy Mother's Day, Velvet. And I want to ask Velvet to lead us in a responsive prayer for us to really take this in and to make some declarations that are important. So I want to ask you to stand up and let's pray and declare this stuff over our lives.
Yes, if you are a follower of Christ, would you please repeat after me in prayer and declaration? I am no longer an orphan.
I am no longer,
I am no longer fatherless.
I have been adopted into the family of God.
I have taken on His name and His righteousness. I'm a child of God with full rights and privileges of an heir.
I have full access to the throne of grace.
So I eagerly approach my gracious Father,
who delights in caring and providing for my every need.
I now cast all my cares on my loving Father.
I lay every burden and every wound at His feet.
In Christ, I have found my true home,
where I am perfectly accepted and loved.
I now choose to believe and live out of this reality.
Thank you, Abba Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want to encourage you. Some of those words, truths, and realities that you just spoke, speak them over your life often. Often. Because it's easy for us to forget who we are and whose we are as children of God, this new identity and this new family that we belong to. If you need to find them, you can listen to the sermon later. And, you know, if you want to cut out all that pastor talk and just go right to the prayer that my wife led us in, you can go right there. But new family is our new reality. New family means new inheritance. There's a third point that I believe God wants us to grab hold of this morning. New family is our new mission. New family is our new mission. In Genesis 2:18, God's word says, it is not good for man, for woman, for people. I want to put it in that context. It's not good for people to be alone. It's not good. He created Adam. It's not good that he's alone. He needs a wife. He needs kids. He needs a family. It's not good that he's alone. God himself, the Trinity, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is a representation of this truth. It displays God's heart for community, his heart for family. God in three persons, it's mysterious, it's marvelous, it's community, it's family, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus, he came down. We don't see a man coming down, walking on this earth all alone. Rather, we see God doing life in community and inviting others to join him. Jesus came down, he said, come follow me, come do life with me. Let's do this together, not alone. When Jesus ascended to be at the right hand of the Father, he didn't leave behind a bunch of individuals trying to figure out this Christian life, trying to battle sin and battle the devil and bring the kingdom of God all alone on their little islands everywhere. That's not what Jesus left. No, he left behind the church, didn't he? He left behind the growing family of God. I'm reminded of the day of Pentecost. What happened? Ooh, that family grew pretty fast. 3,000 in one day, like 120 coming out of the upper room, and bam! 3,000. The family of God growing, brothers and sisters coming in to the family. Jesus desires that everyone would find their place in the family of God. He wants all to be saved. That's what it says in 1 Timothy 2:4. In other words, he wants his family to grow. He created people to be in his family. Sin separates us from his family, but through Christ, we are brought into right relationship and become children of God, heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. That's the heart of God. That's the desire that God has for us. That's the mission of Jesus, to come to save the lost and the lonely and to bring them in the family of God. It says in Psalm 68, verse 6, God sets the lonely in families. He doesn't leave the lonely scattered about. His heart is, where are the lonely people? Bring them into my family. I didn't create them to be out there alone. I created them to be with my children. This is the mission of Jesus, is to place, to bring, to set the lonely into the family of God. That's why he came. And it's also our mission as followers of Christ, who are here to do what he did and even greater things. That continues to blow my mind all the time too. There's a lot more of us, aren't there? We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead in us. The same love that had Christ go to the cross for us is in us. Look at all of us. What can that do? How can the family of God grow through that? Wow. It's our mission to lead the lost and the lonely to the family of God. We're called to be like Christ, to seek out the lost, to seek out the hurting. How many of you know that there are a lot of lost and hurting people in our community? We live in an amazing place in Gilbert. I mean, you just walk outside of our church and there you are at all these amazing restaurants where tens of thousands of people go every weekend to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy amazing food, right? I mean, we live in a very comfortable, amazing place, but that doesn't mean that there are not lost and hurting and lonely people living right next door to us. There are. They're everywhere. God's heart is, introduce him to my son, Jesus. Bring him into my family. That's where I want him. That's what I created him for. You know, we're called to adopt others into the family of God. We're called to adopt others into the church. Again, that happened at Pentecost. 3,000 were adopted into the family of God on that day. But to do this, we have to be intentional. Jesus didn't come and minister on this earth without intention. He came with a clear mission to do the will of the Father, to seek to save the lost. He went where the Father led him for the intention of bringing the lost and lonely into the family of God, and he was very good at it. And he created us and given us all we need to be very, very good at it. But we need to be intentional also. Just coming into the church meetings and getting in the car, garage door goes up, back out, get to the church, walk in, high five everybody, sit, praise, and do all that, then go back and week in and week out. That's good, and maybe there'll be a few that we draw in that way. But man, if we're more intentional, look out. If we go out into our community like they did out of the upper room, filled with the Spirit, moved by the Spirit, operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and what happened? 3,000. They probably couldn't fit in that room after that. They had to find other rooms, other fellowships, other places to meet. We're called to adopt people into God's family. We're called to individually share the gospel with them. But for the lost and the lonely to fully experience that all God has for them, they need to be in the family of God. Connected in the family of God. Finding their place in the family of God. And in fact, for us to fully experience all that God has for us, we need to be fully connected in the family of God. Oh, there's so much that we get to experience when we're all alone. There's so much that I get when I'm alone with God in the prayer room, hearing his voice. It's awesome. But there's so many other things that I get when I'm with my brothers and sisters. Things that I wouldn't receive all alone. But God moves through the family of God to minister and to do amazing, even greater things. And we have brothers and sisters who are lost and lonely that we need to get into the family because God has unique things in them that he wants to use through them in order to grow his family even more and to bring his kingdom more. You hear what I'm saying? We can read all about the body of Christ and all the members coming together. There are members, parts of the body that need to come in and find their place and connect and look out. The church going from glory to glory, growing up, becoming stronger, and the kingdom of God, light overtaking the darkness in a greater and greater capacity and rate. Man, that's the heart of God. That's what he wants to do, but it starts with growing his family. Now, sometimes the lonely are lost and they need Jesus. And so we need to introduce them to Jesus. You can do that on your own. You can bring them to church and let God move in however he wants to do it. You can take them to a life group meeting, a prayer meeting. You can talk to them, as Don was sharing earlier, at the gas station and lead them to Christ. You can introduce them to one of your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and boom, something happens. There's a connection. The Spirit moves. And next thing you know, that person is finding Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Don't think there's some kind of formula where you got to go out and catch the fish and clean the fish and serve it all up on your own before, you know, you can bring them into the family. Let's just go out and find the lost and the lonely and bring them in. Sometimes the lonely, though, aren't lost. They know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They are already children of God. They're already an heir, but they're not experiencing all the inheritance that God has for them. They're still on the outside. We need to bring the lonely in. We need to bring them into the family of God, connect them in the family of God, whether it's at Evident Life Church or some other fellowship. They need to be connected in the family of God. They need us and we need them. And our mission is to go set them in the family of God. We're called to grow the family of God. In many ways, I was thinking about this week, that we are actually, we're kind of like counselors and coordinators in God's adoption agency. We go out and find orphans. And we already know who the father is, right? We already know what the family is. We got to go out and find the orphans and connect them and bring them in to the family of God, where they will be finding the fullness of who they are in Christ Jesus, in the family. You are an adoption coordinator. You're an adoption counselor. That's what you are. Let's go bring them in. Let's go bring them in. And so I want to just say this. Let the adoption begin. Can we say that? Let the adoption begin. Let them begin. Do you know anyone who is lost or who is lonely? I don't always do this hand raising thing or whatever, but I'm doing it right now. Do you know somebody that's lost or lonely? Anybody? Virtually every hand goes up in the room. Okay. Now, do you know anyone who's not connected? Maybe they're a believer, but they're not connected in any local fellowship. They're not connected in the body of Christ. Do you know anybody like that? Not as many hands go up, but a lot of hands still going up. I know a lot of them, and I'm seeking them out and talking and inviting them all the time. If we know these people, let's be like Jesus. Let's go get them. Let's seek out the lost. Seek out the lonely and bring them into the family of God. That's God's heart for them. That's his desire for their life. Let's invite them even to our church. You know, I was doing some quick math, and it's not calculus, believe me. I take one calculus course in college. Anyway, I can't spend that much time concentrating. And anyway, so what we've got then is I did some quick math. Did you know that if we have, let's say, 300 people in this church, that if everyone in this church over the course of the next 7 months between now and the end of the year went out as an adoption coordinator or counselor, and you went and you found a lost or lonely person, somebody not connected in the body of Christ, and you fulfilled that role of bringing them into the family of God, that we would double in size? I know that's easy math, but let's keep it simple right now, right? If you're a family of five, and you go out and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to another family of five, and you bring them in, they're lost, they're lonely, they're disconnected, and you bring them into the family, oh my goodness, we've seen the family of God doubling. And you don't have to stop with just simple addition. God can work in multiplication. One can put 1,000, 2, 10,000 to flight. That's some serious multiplication. He can send 120 people out of an upper room and 3,000 people come to Christ the same day. I want to adopt this spirit of adoption, and I want to go out and get them. It's not hard. It's not scary. Grab some invitation cards. In fact, I'd like somebody here who knows where they are to go grab them and put them out on the table, as many as we have. Throw them out on the table. Grab some invitation cards and just invite them in. If they say no, don't take it personally. Don't take it personally. Come on. Just be who you are, say what you know, and give what you have. Let's stand up. Hope you realize this isn't about some kind of slick church growth thing. That's not it at all. This is just the heart of God. I want us to get behind the heart of God And I want us to see, we've all been lost or lonely at some point. Imagine where you'd be. I'd probably be dead right now or in prison if somebody didn't bring me in and introduce me to Jesus and I wasn't adopted into the family of God. And there are people out there right now that are dying and going to prison because they got no hope. They need to know you. They need to know the family of God. And they need to be invited in and let them be adopted in by Christ. If you feel comfortable, you want to raise your hands just as an act of surrender and agreement to the Lord, I want to pray this over us right now. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for sharing with us your heart for others. We first of all thank you for adopting us into your family, for making us new, all things new through Jesus. We are humbled and amazed that we are now your children. And that we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. It's a miracle. God, thank you for doing such a loving thing for us. And Lord, we turn our hearts now to your heart and therefore to others. And we say yes to the call that you have for us to come into agreement with your mission to grow the family of God. To bring people into this new family that we're part of right now, God. Lord, would you open up our eyes to see the lost and the lonely? Open up our ears to hear who's hurting, oh God. And then move our hearts and our bodies and our mouths, Lord God, to go bring them in. To share Jesus, to share love. To pick them up if we need to. Or at least give them an invitation card, God. Stir us up, oh God, that we would be your people and that you would be glorified as your family grows, Lord. Thank you for letting us be a part of this great mission. Thank you, God. We say yes to you now. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.